friends, and welcome to Peace Talk, one of a series of productions on K2's Monday evening program, Focus on Community. Peace Talk is sponsored by the local chapter of Veterans for Peace. It is our contribution to our community's continuing conversation about the imperative of peace in our times and about the changes in our society that we need in order to give peace a chance. Before we begin this evening, this is a good time to let everyone know that the opinions and the ideas expressed on Peace Talk are those of the participants and not those of KTOO, its management, its board, or its staff. This is Phil Smith. I'm a veteran for peace, and I'm your host this evening. We have a special guest this evening, another Phil. This guy, however, is from Florida, and he's on with us live right now. Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I am, Phil. Thank you for the invitation to be on the show tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to the conversation. It's about a topic that many people in Juneau feel is probably shouldn't be something that we talk about, but there are different opinions, and I'd like to explore those with you.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into that, though. You're with Veterans for Peace and a chapter number and city in Florida?
Yes, it's chapter 136, and it's the Central Florida chapter. It covers a number of cities, Orlando, east to greater Melbourne, and mm-hmm. north all the way to Jacksonville. And we're located in Daytona Beach, which is kind of smack in the middle of it all.
And you guys are fairly active, I take it.
Yes, and it was, well, let's get right to what started our chapter. It was shortly after the Downing Street memo was issued, or leaked, or what have you, broken, in May 1st of 2005, which was basically the smoking gun proof that the Bush administration had conspired with the Blair administration over in the UK to lie about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that was in July of 2002, and here we are in May of 2005, and that story broke, and I thought that would bring an end to the war once they went with that, and Veterans for Peace grabbed onto it, and it was in June of 2005, the 16th of June, John Conyers had hearings. They called them the basement hearings on this Downing Street memo. Cindy Sheehan testified, Ray McGovern, a bunch of folks, and then outside later that day, there was this fella from Veterans for Peace. His name is Mike Ferner, and he gave this fiery speech, and I just want to read one segment of it because this is what got me to look up Veterans for Peace and join. It is our responsibility, and as one VFP member stated, our sworn duty to uphold the Constitution and impeach this criminal president. As citizens, every one of us is complicit in his crimes. By virtue of that complicity, we are compelled, not only by the law, but by morality and history, to do whatever we can to stop this war of aggression and these crimes against humanity. The Nuremberg tribunals following World War II did not favorably judge the First Nation the world determined had waged a war of aggression, nor its good citizens who obeyed their government. And it was a fiery speech, Phil, and it just really got my attention. I was watching it online, and I said, who are these guys? You know, Veterans for Peace. And I looked them up on the internet and phoned them and asked if I could join. I wasn't sure. You see, I'm a peacetime veteran. I wasn't born until 1960, so I came of age after Vietnam, and my service was during peacetime. And they said, sure, Phil, Veterans for Peace is open to all veterans, regardless of when and where you served. And that's all I needed to hear. I got a chapter going in Central Florida. You needed 10 veterans to get a chapter started. And actually, our current president, Patrick McCann, our current national president, helped me get the chapter started. He was with the Miami chapter at the time, and he was a great help. And so that's how we got started on the Veterans for Peace calling for impeachment of the United States president prosecuting illegal wars of aggression and occupations.
So did you eventually, of course, your chapter got going and you started going to the annual conventions, and it was in 2011 down in Portland that the assembled body at the annual convention passed a resolution, Resolution 2011-7,
yeah,
calling on the impeachment of President Barack Obama for war crimes. And
yes,
apparently this passed in Portland. Nobody from Juneau was there, I'm sad to say. But it's sometimes difficult for us to fly around the country.
I understand. I wasn't there either.
Okay, so tell us what happened, though.
Well, actually, you know, a little bit of history. That was the third year in a row the resolution was put forward. The first year was 2009, Obama's first year of his presidency. And actually, how the resolution came about was the third day in office, in January of 2009, Obama ordered drone bombers into Pakistan, a country that Bush hadn't even gotten to yet, and killed a bunch of its people with these drone bombers. And that led one of our chapter members, Tom Santoni, out of St. Augustine, Florida, to write an article entitled "Impeach Obama!" exclamation point. And your listeners right now can go to globalresearch.ca, and a great website, and type in search "Impeach Obama" by Tom Santoni, and you'll find that article there prefaced by a narrative, an editor's note from this past February. The editor, managing editor, is Professor Michelle Chosadowski on this article. And that led to our chapter taking on the issue of applying the same standard that we so strongly applied to the Republican to the Democrat for doing the same thing. And so that's how the impeachment resolution came about. We cited the same crimes that were cited in the strong call for the impeachment of the Republican. So we pretty much stayed consistent to the precedent set. And it was tough because you remember at the time, Phil, it was the first black president America ever had, and a lot of people were really high on that. And to be calling for his impeachment before the dust even settled, before the confetti even all hit the ground, wasn't too popular, you know. We had to deal with it, and our chapter had about three dozen folks in it, two black veteran members, and one of them being my best friend. And I was in a tough spot because that was a little awkward, you know. My best friend's a black fella, and here we are calling for impeachment of the first black president, and the guy isn't even in office a few months yet. But he committed war crimes. He committed a war of aggression, and we had set the precedent already, and we stuck to it. I realized I might lose my friend, and I was either going to have to step down from Veterans for Peace as the chapter coordinator, or I was going to have to do my job as chapter coordinator. And I stuck with it, and I must say I'm very proud of the men and women in our chapter. We took the issue on, and we took it on at a difficult time, and we kept it within the context, Phil, of the Veterans for Peace statement of purpose and the precedent that had already been set by Veterans for Peace, and the laws violated. And so we stayed consistent. And the chapter members all chipped in and sent me up to the convention in Maryland for 2009, and it was soundly rejected. Some of our chapter members resigned in protest after that, and we had some real good anti-war activists. And we put it up again in 2010. At that point in time, Cindy Sheehan endorsed our resolution, promoted it on her blog. We had Professor Francis A. Boyle, who's tried war criminals around the world, helped introduce the 1991 resolution to impeach Papa Bush on the first Iraq. Henry Gonzalez had submitted it, but Professor Boyle helped draft it. You may be familiar up in your neck of the woods with the Native American activist John Splitting the Sky Bonkor. He came out and endorsed our resolution, and, you know, we were getting big-name people. And again, it failed at Portland, Maine, on the 25th Conference of Veterans for Peace. But it was getting more support. And then in 2011, the third year in a row, now mind you, Obama had just launched a war on Libya on 19 March 2011, 8 years to the day of Junior Bush's shock and awe on Iraq. And here Obama did a shock and awe on Libya. And the thing about this time was he didn't even bother to go to Congress and lie to him like Junior Bush did. And he wasn't even in the country at the time. He phoned it in. He was in Brazil or somewhere and phoned in the shock and awe on Libya. And after that, Cynthia McKinney endorsed our resolution that very day. I had contacted her. And what got us after that feel was you had left and right pundits talking about impeachment. You had left and right members of Congress talking about impeachment. You know, this is in regards to the attack on Libya. And you had Francis Boyle, Ramsey Clark from the left. You had Bruce Fein, assistant attorney general from the right, all volunteering their services to any member of Congress who would introduce a bill of impeachment. And you had pretty much silence from the anti-war leadership, other than, a cover-your-ass statement of opposition, which has no teeth. And it was at that point in time I wrote an article called Impeach Now or Forever Hold Up Peace, and that's on the Internet as well. And we really pushed the impeachment resolution at that time. And the convention was in August of 2011, and in July of 2011, Voters for Peace officially called for impeachment of Obama for war crimes, for the crimes that we cited in our call for the impeachment of the Republican. And then Larry Pinkney of the Black Commentator came out on 21 July with his article calling for impeachment of Obama for the war crimes, not for, you know, for the very same crimes we cited in the call for impeaching the Republican. Here's a fellow of the veteran of the Black Panther Party, political prisoner, I mean, black activist. You know, it's hard to get more black than Larry Pinkney, you know. And he came out, and I remember talking with him, you know, about the question of racism. And he said, look, Phil, applying a different standard based on race is racism. So applying a separate standard on this president just because of his race is racism. And he said, as a black man, he couldn't be more offended. Needless to say, we took it up again at the convention in 2011, and this time it passed. It passed, and it wasn't a fluke, Phil, because the whole month of July, my girlfriend telephoned the close to 250 chapter contacts around the country and briefed every chapter contact on this resolution prior to the convention, and asked them, you know, and I emailed them all, and we asked the chapter contacts to share the resolution with their chapters, digest it, you know, and if possible, endorse it. We did have a couple chapters endorse it. And so that way, when they sent their representatives to the convention, those representatives would be briefed on the resolution, and they wouldn't be voting, in, you know, blindly on it. So it did pass, and that's the background to it passing.
So it passed about a year after Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, is that right?
Nobel Peace Prize, my God. Amazing, isn't it? Are we in 1984 or what? Yes, but the thing was, Veterans for Peace, we finally came around, the rank and file finally came around to realizing, you know, what are we? Are we Veterans for Peace or, you know, Veterans for Peace when only when it's a Republican? You know, I mean, we finally came around to adhering to our principles and our statement of purpose. That's not the end of the story, Phil. I found out about the resolution passing by getting a phone call from the National Secretary, right from the convention, National Secretary of Veterans for Peace, wanting to get to me before anyone else did. You see, the national leadership wanted me to not say anything about the resolution passing. You see, we were the chapter that sponsored it. And I said, well, what do you mean, Gene? He says, well, Phil, we want you to stay quiet about this. Yeah. Well, what do you mean, stay quiet about it? It passed. Well, we don't know how we're going to handle it just yet. So, what do you mean you don't know how you're supposed to send the letter to Congress like you did on the last impeachment resolution? That's what it calls for. They didn't do that, Phil. And I kept pestering them. And finally, our president, you know, our elected representative, Elliot Adams at the time was the president, said, okay, Phil, we'll get that letter, the letter signed by the president and sent to each member of Congress like it was done in 05. Still no letter. Then finally, I hear back from Elliot Adams. And evidently, Mike Ferner, the fellow that gave that fiery speech that day that got me to join Veterans for Peace, well, he was acting interim executive director, and he intervened, and Elliot Adams, as president, abdicated his duty to issue that letter, and a letter was never issued. And I come to find out after that the resolution was faxed, and that was all they were going to do. And it wasn't until a year and a half later did we actually have proof that it was faxed. And that was a one-sentence fax cover sheet saying that the attached resolution was passed by members of Veterans for Peace voting at the convention. The big difference than how the last one was implemented. So, and that was 17 months after the resolution had passed, did we finally have something that we could download and use, and it still wasn't a letter. So those of us who did want to pursue a resolution that was passed in as far as our efforts to stop the war, we never got the tools to do so. And finally, after an article was run, called Did Veterans for Peace Leadership Lie to Its Members About Issuing a Letter to Congress, Impeachment Letter to Congress, then and only then was this fax cover sheet produced, and safely after Obama had secured a second term as president.
So it sounds to me, and I want to tell you this, that there were people who were not at that convention who were quite distressed by VFP taking that action, particularly in light of our statement of purpose. And a lot of people felt that the first resolution to impeach George Bush was counterproductive. What was the debate like when you guys thought about this? In what way did you and your group feel that passing this resolution and flopping it around in front of Congress was going to lead to an improved possibility of peace?
Well, again, and this is still so much the misconception. This isn't about what Congress does or doesn't do.
Well, it is. If you're going to try to impeach the president, you've got to get the Congress involved.
No. First thing you have to do is get the people to call for it. Congress doesn't do anything unless it's pushed one way or the other. They mm-hmm. do what they're influenced. And this is about what we do, not what they do. It's not them. And this is what we've been saying all along, Phil. It's not about them. It's about what we do. And we cited the crimes. We called for impeachment of the Republican. I mean, books were written. Veterans for Peace testified before Congress in the summer of 2008. You know, going back to Mike Ferner's statement, mm-hmm. you know, it is our responsibility, and as one Veteran for Peace member stated, our sworn duty to uphold the Constitution and impeach this criminal president. You know, as citizens, every one of us is complicit in his crimes. By virtue of that complicity, we are compelled, not only by the law, but by morality and history, to do whatever we can to stop this war of aggression and these crimes against humanity. The Nuremberg tribunals following World War II did not favorably judge the First Nation the world determined had waged a war of aggression, nor its good citizens who obeyed their government. You know, what's that?
Well, that's
I don't
want to debate you here, Phil, but
yeah, I'm just saying that's what got me to join Veterans for Peace.
I know people who were very, very pleased at that time. But the question, I guess, is what does any of this crap have to do with peace? I mean,
it has to do with stopping
the argument.
It has to do with what this statement said. We are compelled to do whatever we can to stop this war of aggression. And we have the President of the United States prosecuting, I don't care what party he's from, he's prosecuting an illegal war of aggression. And what the people claim is, again, you know, their purpose for making the call. And that's all we're talking about is us making the call about what we do and don't do. They said, well, if it didn't work for the Republican, it sure isn't going to work for the Democrat. Well, the reason why the impeachment has lost the teeth, and impeachment is the people's remedy, that's the people's remedy given to us by the Constitution to rein in an out-of-control executive, it's because it was partisan. It's still viewed, you know, the anti-war left was calling for impeachment of the Republican war criminal. Now, that's partisan, and that's now we had the Democrat doing the same damn thing, and this was our opportunity, Phil, to apply the same standard. And I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about we the people, especially the ones that already set the precedent and made the case, the righteous case, to call, and you know what the people, everyone that we spoke with that was against applying the same standard of a public call for impeachment to the Democrat, they were all, their reasoning was, well, what do you want, a Republican to get in? So, you see, they were putting it, the decision what to do in the context of not the statement of purpose and the precedent we set and the consistent application of principle, but they were putting it in the context of national electoral politics as far as what to do. And once you start compromising there, man, you're going to keep getting business as usual. And the thing about applying the standard to the Democrat, the left, anti-war left, applying the same standard to the Democrat, there's nowhere to pass the political football. You take the partisanship out of it. And plus, you'll get a bunch of folks jumping on the bandwagon just because the guys are a Democrat and they're Republicans. What you'll have is a strong call for stopping the war. And, you know, you go back to the first Gulf War, a big part of Bush calling that ceasefire on 28 February 1991 was he didn't want to go in further into Iraq and do an overthrow of the Iraqi government. And there was a bill of impeachment waiting for him. Representative Henry Gonzalez of Texas had this resolution ready to go should Bush go further into Iraq. And I'm not saying that was the sole reason why he called the ceasefire, but it was a big part of it.
Well,
the threat of impeachment.
Yeah, but, you know, impeachment has consequences. I mean, there is a legal procedure, and that involves, as you said, getting the people to get the Congress to take certain steps, basically to investigate, to appoint have a Judiciary Committee report out bills of impeachment, and then having the entire House of Representatives vote on whether that's a good idea, and then, of course, sending it over to the Senate for a trial. And meanwhile, we are using depleted uranium weapons. We are armaments. We are conducting terrible prison conditions in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and other places.
And if you look at our resolution, those were cited.
So
those were all items cited in the resolution.
Calling, I know that. And then, so say you succeed in getting rid of the president, and then you've got the vice president, or God forbid, excuse me for sounding partisan, you've got John Boehner running the war effort. And I'm not sure that that type of thing is particularly productive for our nation's...
But that's not our business. Our business is making the call. You see, President Nixon was forced to resign under threat of impeachment. President George Bush Sr. called a ceasefire, largely in part due to a threat of impeachment. And anyway, it's what we do. Our duty is to make the call, to actually suck in some air, just like Mike Ferner did that day in on the stage in Washington, D.C., just like Medea Benjamin and the other presidents of Veterans for Peace and David Swanson, for God's sake, of AfterDowningStreet.org, Deborah Sweet of World Can't Wait. When they got up at a microphone, they talk about what kind of resources and effort are we going to expend. It's basically this. We need to call for impeachment of President Obama for the same reasons we called for impeachment of President George Bush. You know, you suck in air and you breathe out and you vibrate your vocal cords. That's the effort it takes, Phil. You know, why the resistance? Why the resistance to calling for impeachment? And again, it's about us making the call for it.
Well, if we don't expect Congress to act on it, then I'm not sure that we are doing much more than howling in the wilderness. But we're gonna break this right now. I want to play a song called Ashes and Dreams and take a minute. But while we're playing that music, let's think about next steps and what we can do to kick around the idea of having a vacancy in the presidency and how that is going to somehow or another lead to a more peaceful universe. Before we get to the song, though, I'd like to suggest that I'd like to remind you that you're listening to KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. And community broadcast radio station, and you're listening to Peace Talk. Let's play a song now.
Just look at our country. Our home is on fire, and all that we cherish is burning away. There's not enough water to beat back the flames. Well, there's nothing left. We'll have to rebuild from ashes. Fire started when our gold turned to greed, and our passions for power spread like gasoline. Burn across the border, raged over the
was Ashes and Dreams, composed and sung by Martha Scott Stay. It's on the Wounded Dove CD that was produced by Vets for Peace here in Juneau. about 7 years ago. She was accompanied by Jim Stay on the fiddle. And we'll probably play one more before we leave. But meanwhile, I want to reconnect with Phil. You still
Hi,
there?
Phil. Yes, still here.
Okay, great. Well, we really appreciate your views on this, because I don't think that many people up here, as I sort of indicated earlier, are in agreement with the idea that somehow or another we're advancing the cause of peace through a resolution like this, except insofar, I guess, as we are organizationally consistent. You know, we read our statement of purpose as a national organization, and we are to increase public awareness of the costs of war. We are to restrain our government from intervening in the internal affairs of other nations. We're to try to end the arms race and reduce and eventually eliminate nuclear weapons. We want to seek justice for veterans and other victims of war. And we want to abolish war as an instrument of national policy. And I expect, as a practical matter, that we could impeach every president for the next 50 years, and we would not end up with a national policy that would come in full alignment with our statement of purpose. And, I mean, in other words, I believe that it is crystal clear that the positions of our organization are not prevalent throughout the leadership of the country, and in fact are scoffed at by many. When we go sort of out beyond the pale with a resolution of impeachment, it seems to me that we give the scoffers a little bit more ammunition than they otherwise would have.
Well, I submit to you that it was just the opposite by not applying the same standard of a public call for impeachment to the Democrat as we had so strongly done for the Republican. When you step outside the choir, you know, or the cocoon of the left only need apply anti-war movement, we're a joke, Phil. We're laughed at. The movement, the anti-war movement, has just fizzled under Obama, and it's because of the double standard. We lost a number of great activists for that reason, from our Vets for Peace chapters and the anti-war groups altogether. And we're not the only chapter. When we called around in July of 2011, prior to the third year in a row of this resolution being presented, this wasn't a fluke. It wasn't the first time around, and it wasn't a surprise. Every chapter contact in the country was called on the telephone and emailed prior to, and there were a number of people that have left because of Veterans for Peace not applying the same standard to the Democrat and of a public call for impeachment. And again, it's the call for. It's not about what they do or don't do. It's about what we do or don't do. And out of those five planks that you mentioned of our statement of purpose, the one where we should be stopping the damn war that's going on right now on our watch, that's restraining our government from intervening overtly or covertly in the affairs of other nations, I think the first order of business is to stop the damn bleeding, put a tourniquet on it, you know, and that is applying enough pressure on this president or whatever president is commanding these illegal wars to stop it, and we've got to do all we can to do that, and that's what our immediate duty is, I believe. And that's the way the case was made when the Republican was doing it. And I believe the reason why impeachment did not work for the Republican Bush was because it was a partisan call. no matter how you look at it, it was partisan. And that's, we've got to remember how the eyes of the entire nation see this, not just our own little choir. And I submit to you, and it's yet to be tried, Phil, if the anti-war movement had applied the same standard of a public call, that's us making a public call like we did for the Republican, I submit to you that there'd be nowhere to pass the political football. You take the partisanship out of it, and then these guys don't know what to do with it, and we got a stronger call for it, and we didn't even try. The only thing the leadership has done is to get in the way of that public call, to withhold a letter to Congress from the membership after the resolution passed. You know, after, and that's what we have this time around in 2013. We have a resolution. It's gotten to the point where we have to submit a resolution just to get the national leadership to do what it was supposed to do after the impeachment resolution passed 2 years ago, a year prior to the presidential election, by the way, which was to issue that letter to Congress and make it available as a download for those of us who wanted to pursue it to use. And it was never done. And believe you me, it's been asked for a number of times. And we've been stalled for 17 months. And then finally, after that article, which people can read, it's called Did Veterans for Peace Leadership Lie to Its Members About Sending Letter of Impeachment to Congress as Directed by VFP Resolution 2011-7. That's on the internet, gives a history there. It's if anything, Phil, the effort has been to suppress this simple administrative. Basically, the letter would have been changing the name of the President of the United States, changing the date, and changing the name of the President of Veterans for Peace at the time. That's how much effort and resources it would have taken. That's always been the excuse. We don't have the effort and resources to carry that out. It's a bunch of crap, Phil, and people see it. People see it.
Well, I think that to some extent I agree with you that the quest for peace and the demand for peace should be nonpartisan and should not be abandoned simply because we're happy that as a Democrat that we have a Democratic president. Although I guess in that same spirit, though, that many of us feel that the first effort to impeach President Bush was probably futile and counterproductive. So applying the same standard, we would say that the same thing is true of Obama. We, in our chapter, have assiduously continued our activities under Obama. We had a President's Day rally at our state capitol, at which we held, you know, tried to hold all the leadership to account for these immoral and illegal wars. And now, there's a general feeling that overall the enthusiasm is less than it was, but I don't feel that we've become a laughingstock as a result of the election of a new president, you know, especially one who, when he took office, was dealing with the process of getting the hell out of Iraq, which he has now completed. He's got a timeline to get out of Afghanistan. There's a whole bunch of things going on that we don't like, but we see some movement in the right direction.
Well,
I mean, is that right?
That's right, but we're just given, there's nothing threatening this president to stop what he's doing. You know, you can have vigils all you want. You could have Veterans for Peace chain themselves to the White House fence all they want and get hauled off and arrested and have to pay bail to get out and all that, or pay your fines, whatever you have to do when you get arrested. And in the eyes of the general public, those outside the choir, we're in the choir, it's just a bunch of lefties getting themselves arrested again. I'm talking about the general public. And plus, it's about what we do ourselves. We, too, have been continuing our efforts. We give a weekly anti-war demonstration here in Daytona Beach every Thursday evening on the border of the black section of the city, where we have our war crimes or war crimes, prosecute Bush, impeach Obama signs. And we've been doing that since 2005. That's a lot of Thursday nights.
Sure is.
You know, and what I'm getting at is that same president of Veterans for Peace, after he left his term of office, Elliot Adams, wrote in the newsletter that there's all kinds of ways for us to work for stopping the war, ending the war. And that's what we got to do first, is ending the war that's right in front of us, that's going on our watch. I would think that's the first order of business, is ending the war that's in front of us. And he said, none of them should be mutually exclusive, and, you know, and go with what you think you want to do, but don't let what you want to do, don't work against someone else wanting to do their particular effort, you know. So the resolution passed fair and square, just as it did in 2004 for the Republican. It passed the same way through the same process, and on the third time around, the people were informed, and for the national office to certain people intervene and prevent the letter to Congress and prevent the members of Veterans for Peace from having that as a download and a tool is unacceptable.
Okay, so I guess what you're saying is that in order to impeach the president, we have to impeach our president.
No, I did not say that.
Oh.
No.
I'm just
saying the history of what happened is not right. So what we're doing with this 2013-10 resolution is that we're introducing at this year's convention is to get the current president of Veterans for Peace to finally issue this letter to Congress to fulfill the impeachment resolution that was passed in 2011 and make the letter available as a download for those members who want to pursue that avenue as a means of stopping the war, as trying to stop the war. And so...
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you said that this was faxed to Congress.
The resolution itself, there was never a written letter like there was on 19 March 2005, which was made available as a download, which was... also put into a flyer that was entitled Iraq War Merits Impeachment. And in 2012, we proposed that the flyer also be updated to change the words to Obama's War Crimes Merit Impeachment. And it would basically just be a little fine-tuning because the crimes are basically the same. It doesn't take a lot of work to update the 2005 letter and flyer for the 2011 resolution. And there was a lot of requests for that and a lot of resistance to follow through with it. And that seems like effort to suppress, if anything. That's where the effort was, Phil. And so that's why we have this resolution before the 2013 convention to finally get our representative leader, the national president, to issue the letter to Congress.
And you think that doing so will help scare Obama into changing his policies?
I think it begins the call. And I think if anyone's scared, it's the leadership of the left that are concerned about a nonpartisan call, for impeachment. I think that the concerns are in the context of Republican versus Democrat politics and party politics is what influences these decisions on the part of the leadership and the people opposed to applying the same standard. I mean, that's always always all the representatives of the chapters that were not in favor of the resolution, that's what they cited. What do you want, a Republican to get in? And that was the context of the decision-making instead of the precedent we already set, the crimes that were already cited, the statement of purpose, and our, to stop the daggone wars that are going on our watch. So, yes, I believe we should at least try. We should at least make the call. And the resistance to this is questionable, Why such a resistance to making a call? Why such a resistance to at least providing the tools for those of us who do want to use it and try it? Why? Why the resistance?
Well, I can't answer that, of course. We live in Alaska and...
Yeah, but I mean, it is a good question to ponder, don't you think?
Well, I suppose, although... But the National Headquarters has provided the resolution to Congress, even though not with the same enthusiasm, apparently, as they did for the Bush resolution. Congress has opted not to take any action on it.
They don't even know about it. I had to finally ask my member of Congress after there was no letter or any proof of deliverance of this resolution to Congress. I finally contacted my member of Congress, and she had never received this from Veterans for Peace. And I wondered too, and that's the point is made in the article, did Veterans for Peace leadership lie to its membership about sending the letter to Congress, impeachment letter to Congress, as directed by VFP Resolution 2011-7. The point was made, out of 535 members of Congress in the Senate, roughly half of them Republican, with the stated intention by many to make Obama a one-term president, you would think that somebody would have grabbed onto this. Here is this anti-war veterans group that so strongly called for the impeachment of the Republican Bush is now calling for the impeachment of their guy, Obama. You think that would have made a little news, and somebody would have made a little noise about that. So we called a couple of members of Congress, my own, Ron Paul's office, and they had no record of this. And the thing is, it's not only that. We, after the 2005 letter was issued by David Klein, the president at the time, we were given, members of Veterans for Peace, whether you wanted to pursue it or not, you had the option of a downloadable flyer and copy of the letter to use in your activism and to bring it to the attention of your own member of Congress, to make it available to others in the general public that wanted to pursue this action. And we asked for that multiple times. We were going to have the letter issued by the President Elliott Adams at the time in August of 2011 after the passage, but he was intervened by Mike Ferner, intervened, and Elliott Adams did a 180 and abdicated that duty and said he changed his mind. He wasn't going to issue the letter, and he was leaving things up to Acting Executive Director Mike Ferner. So there was actually an action taken fail to prevent that letter going out, which was a very simple, change the name of the president, change the name of the VFP president, the crimes are the same, right, and make it available as a download. They put effort into preventing that. Why? Why put effort into preventing something that doesn't matter?
Well, no doubt there will be a good debate over this in the convention. When is it, 2 weeks from now?
Yes.
In Madison?
Yes, and we've gotten a lot of chapters that have endorsed the resolution already, because we've been, like we did with the initial impeachment resolution, we got on the phone and on the emails and reached out to roughly 250 chapter contacts, yourself being one of them. So it's the right thing to do. Again, it's about what we do, not what might happen based on what we, you know,
Okay, but I can't let that go totally unchallenged. It's to say,
sure.
I don't want to argue with you, but if we don't know why we're doing something other than to be consistent with past actions, which were themselves debatable, and we don't have a clear outcome in mind, I think we're spending an awful lot of time and energy and hard feelings in some cases and distrust of each other trying to force outcomes that we can't foresee, and we're only doing it based on some rather impractical speculation. And if I thought for 1 minute that a VFP passed a resolution and that there was a snowball's chance in hell of impeaching the president, and that that would lead toward peace, that would be a small price to pay. But if this leads toward an effort to impeach the president, then, you know, we're going to have far worse results of even trying, and the success rate is like zero to slim. So
then,
you know,
then don't try, but at least give the resolution passed, Phil.
You're right.
And to prevent those of us having the same tools that were given when it was for the Republican, that's not right. We should at least have, those of us who want to pursue it, should at least have the same daggone tools. And that's a problem when you're intervening to prevent that from happening. That should be questioned and remedied, and that's what we're doing with the current resolution. Perhaps it had something to do with who was going to get elected in 2012. You know, okay, the guy's back in now. Now can we have the letter?
Okay, well, look, we're out of time.
Yeah.
I appreciate your vigor on this, and I really, really do see your point. And I just, to some extent, just playing devil's advocate here. But,
sure.
I'm not going to be at that convention. I don't think anybody from our chapter will be.
Yeah.
So I hope it's well covered so that we can follow the events after they occur. And I want to thank you so much and wish you very good luck, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. And please, globalresearch.ca, yep. Impeach Obama by Tom Santoni.
I'll read it.
That's where it all started.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks again, Phil.
Okay. Appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Keep it up.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
So that brings our close.
I once had a cousin.
We'll, I guess we have about a minute left. We'll just go out with another song from our album, our CD, Wounded Dove. So thank you all for listening. I hope you found it enlightening. Take care.
We met Sergeant Harper and Corporal Krimp and a little wee drummer who roused up the camp with his rowdy-do-do in the morning. Well, good morning, the sergeant, he cries, and the same to you, gentlemen, was our reply, intending no harm, meaning just to pass by, for it being on Christmas morning. But the sergeant says, fellows, if you would enlist, it's 10 guineas in gold I will slip in your fist, and a crown in the bargain to kick up the dust and drink the king's health in the morning.
You're listening to KTOO-FM, Juneau's 24-hour news and information station.